to God. Amen. If you belong to God this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I praise God that He knows where we are, He knows who we are, and He never, ever forgets about us. And I'm so thankful for that. Acts chapter number 2 this morning. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Many of you are aware of what took place in Charlottesville, Virginia yesterday. And I want to stand here and I want to condemn anything and any time anybody is singled out and attacked and hurt based upon the color of their skin. That is wicked, that is wrong, and it is not of God. And anybody who oppresses anybody based upon the color of their skin is not right with God. That is not a popular opinion, and I fully realize and understand that, but Jesus died for everybody, not just a certain color of skin. Amen? Now, you say, Brother Brian, why are you bringing this up? Because it's a wicked, despicable act. And it's many wicked and despicable acts that have not only taken place in the United States, but they've taken place all over the world. Even at this very moment, people are being oppressed and killed and destroyed because of what they look like or because of who they believe in. There is only one living and true God. That is Jesus Christ. He makes us equal. The ground at Calvary is flat. There is no big this person and there is no small this person. Jesus died for the entire world. I know, Elle, it's okay, sweetie. That's okay. She was sleeping good and I woke her up. Brothers and sisters, let us stop looking at people based upon what they are on the outside. What color is a soul? Exactly right. You know what the color of my soul is? The blood of Jesus Christ. Now you say, wait, well, Brother Brian, I didn't know we were getting political this morning. I'm not getting political. The Bible is clear in this very instant. Look at Acts chapter number 2 with me this morning. Because it fits right in with the passage that we've been studying. Here in Acts chapter number 2, 3,000 people have gotten saved. The Holy Spirit went out and Peter preached. And now let's see the results of it. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 42. All those who were saved, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. What color was these disciples? What color were they? They were from all over the known world at that time. They were Jews from Tunisia. There were Jews from North Africa, which Tunisia's in. It was Jews from the Middle East. There were Jews from all over the place here. Different shades, different colors, different hairstyles. There were men, there were women, there were boys, there were girls, there was rich, there was poor. There's those who spoke Aramaic. There's some that spoke Hebrew. There's some who spoke Greek. All the languages were represented there. It does not say only the white people got saved. It does not say only the brown people got saved. It doesn't say only the black people got saved. It says that they all continued in what Jesus Christ had done. Now I know what you're saying, Brother Brian. What do you mean attacking us this morning? We're not racist. That's not what I'm saying. But here's the problem. We begin to segregate ourselves based upon our likes or our dislikes. Let me ask you a question. I want you to consider this morning. When you meet someone for the very first time, what do you judge them based upon? How they're dressed? How they're not dressed? Are they wearing a tie this morning? May I tell you, this doesn't make me holy. It chokes me at times. God doesn't love me based upon my tie. He loves me based upon his love for me, regardless of anything. Do you judge someone based upon what they can or can't do for you? When these people got saved that day, Peter did not ask them, what color are you? He just simply put the gospel out there and they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. By the way, what color was Jesus? Exactly right, Joseph. We believe he was Middle Eastern. There was nothing outstanding about him. He wasn't 6'4", 240 pounds, looked like a linebacker. That's not him. He didn't have long flowing locks and lily white skin. The color didn't matter. It's his blood that matters. And here it says they, those who got saved, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know what the most important apostles' doctrine was? You know what the number one thing that I'm It didn't say love each other based upon people's habits. It didn't say love each other based upon what they did have or didn't have. It just simply said love one another. And Jesus taught this. He said, you shall know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. You know why that's so important this morning? You know why that's such a need this morning? Because everywhere in our world, we're hating and destroying and killing each other based upon externals and not loving each other based upon our souls. I know it's not popular, but it's the truth. And I love you enough as your pastor to tell you the truth. I love you enough as your pastor to say, hey, enough is enough. See, because it's not just in here this morning. It's out there. You know that one that you avoid on the street that doesn't look like you? You know that one in the store that you're shopping and you see them come down the aisle and you go down the other one? That one that doesn't familiar with you? It ought not to be so, brothers and sisters. These people that got saved, they continued steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles, and then it said in fellowship. Not just a simply Sunday lunch gathering, fellowship. They were spending time together because that's all they had. They were surrounded by a Roman government that hated them. They were surrounded by people who wanted to kill them. They were surrounded by people who wanted to suppress them. And all they had was each other. May I tell you, brothers and sisters, you all you've got. I love being here on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a Wednesday night. I love to gather because you're my family. My blood family is maybe on one hand. That's all I've got left on this earth. But I've got the most important blood family right here, the blood of Jesus Christ. You belong to each other. And when they got saved and they began to realize that the family connections were there, they wanted to be one with another. They wanted to spend time one with another. They wanted to do everything they could to be in each other's hands. Thank you. steadfastly in that. They didn't stop doing that. But look what it says at the end of that verse. It says they in breaking of bread, and then they said they continued steadfastly in prayers. May I help you out with something, brothers and sisters? When we stop praying together, we're going to start breaking up. A family that prays together stays together. But it's not just talking about a family unit of four or five or six people. It's talking about a family unit of God's people praying together. It's vital that we meet and we pray. Wednesday nights, we meet and we pray. We have Bible study, but we meet and we pray. We need to pray together. Pray for unity. Pray for God's guidance. Pray for God to protect us. Pray for God to use us in a great and mighty way. I need God to use me. How many of you want to be used of God this morning? Pray. 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 That's what they did. That's what they did. Now, hold your finger right here and go to Hebrews with me real quick. Hebrews chapter number 10. Of course, Paul was not involved in this issue. We're going to see his name come up later on. But in the book of Hebrews, which I believe he wrote, but that isn't here nor there. It doesn't really matter at the moment. But Hebrews chapter number 10, the writer of Hebrews, he emphasizes the body of Christ being together. He emphasizes that. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 23, we'll start there. The writer says, let us hold fast, steadfastness, the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us hold on to the promise God has made to us. Let us hold on to the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us hold on to what has made us common. Let us hold on to what Jesus is doing for us right now. Hold on to that. Because this world is a slippery slope. This world is a decided disaster out there. We hear the reports of death, and we hear the reports of dismemberments, and we hear the reports of robberies and murders. We hear all that. And then we come together on a Sunday morning, and we need to hear the words of love, acceptance, caring, fellowship. He says, I want you to hold fast to the profession of faith. And then he says this, verse 24, and because of this, let us consider one another. Let us look at other people more important than ourselves. Let us be considered of how other people feel. Let us be considered of how other people are going to react. Let us think about others first. Let us consider one another. And then it says, to provoke unto love and to good works. When I come in here on a Sunday morning and I'm your pastor and I'm shaking hands and I'm loving you, you know what I want to provide you? I want to provide you an atmosphere of love and acceptance. I want you to understand that it's okay to be here. It's okay to be a different color. It's okay to have different situations and different desires. It's okay. You're in a comforting place. You're in a place of love. You're in a place where you're wanted. You're in a place where you're needed. How many of you would come back next Sunday if I started screaming and hollering at you, calling you everything but a good person? If I started naming your sins and saying how nasty you were, and I started saying all kinds of bad things about you, started making fun of your beards, guys. I'm not going to say ladies, but if I started pointing out all the negative things about you, and I started being hateful to you, how many of you would want to come back next Sunday? Because all you'd get stuck in your mind is, that's a judgmental pastor. Brothers and sisters, I am made out of the same mud you are. I am a broken human being healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am not any better than you are. And my desire is to provoke you unto good works. My desire is to cause you to want to serve Jesus. My desire is to cause you to want to step out of your comfort zones and love one another. That's my desire. And then Paul says, doing this, you're not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If your pure desire in your heart is to consider another and to provoke unto love and to good works, you're going to want to be every time we meet together. You're going to want to try to be there, whether it's a men's meeting or a women's meeting or a prayer meeting or a Sunday night or a Sunday. I understand work and I understand being providentially hindered and I understand sickness. I understand all those things. But really, since we're being honest this morning, oh, hold on just a second. When Miss Birchfield got from praising God and telling the truth, she got claps. When I'm up here reading God's word and telling the truth of what I'm getting, there's going to come a time when we're going to wish we could have met together freely again. There's going to come a time when it's not going to matter who's playing instruments and who's not playing instruments. It's not going to matter who's taking up offering and who's not, who's reading this. It's not going to matter. We're just going to wish that we could meet together without being killed. I've always been told, as my youngins are growing up, treasure these days because you're going to wish you had them back. I go back and look at pictures and see them and just, I can't believe that they were that little. And watching them grow and everything else, and there's times I say, stop, I don't want you growing anymore. I want you staying this age right here. But seeing my son play the guitar and watching my daughter sing and hearing her, what a blessing that is. I want them to, but it's going to be a day when the rooms are going to be empty and they're going to be off doing their own thing. And I'm going to look back and say, oh, I wish they'd wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning again. Brothers and sisters, there's coming a day when we're not going to be able to meet together anymore. And then we're going to look back and we're going to say, I wish those days were back. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but instead exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Take advantage of what God has blessed us with. He's blessed us with the wonderful buildings. He's blessed us with wonderful parking lots and all the different equipment. But you know what? He's blessed us with the most important thing, the blood of Jesus Christ. So as those disciples were getting made there in Jerusalem, and they're all from different countries and spoke different languages and had different colors and different interests and different desires, they were made whole by the blood of the Lamb. Their names were written in the book before the foundation of the world. And their names were never going to be blotted out because the blood of Jesus made them. Now go back to Acts with me real quick. That's all introduction. Acts chapter number 2. Go back with me real quick. And it says, when they continued steadfastly in breaking of bread and fellowship and in doctrine and prayers, it says, verse 43, that fear, wonderment, amazement came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done the apostles. You know what will cause people to be amazed at God? You know what will cause people to be attracted to God? You know what's going to cause people to seek God? His people doing what His people are supposed to do. That's what will cause people to come to Jesus Christ. When we do what He has told us to do, people will want to know what makes a difference in our lives. How many of you have ever met a Christian out in public, out in a restaurant, out at school, and they didn't have to proclaim that they're a Christian? You just knew. How many of you met someone like that before? That's how it ought to be. And they all believed, they were together, and they had all things common. and they sold their possessions and their goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had need of. They did this in love. They took care of one another. And may I tell you, Victory Baptist Church, you are one of the most caring churches I've ever been a part of. You do this. You meet needs. You hear of a need, you're there doing it. You know if somebody needs prayer, you're praying. You need a visit, somebody needs a visit, you're there doing it. I applaud you. Keep it up. Don't stop. That's going to make a difference in somebody's life. Because guess what? It's made a difference in my life. How many of you has that made a difference in your life since you've been here? We'll say, Brother Brian, that's never happened to me. Well, maybe you need to step out of your comfort zone and you do that. What a blessing that would be. And they, the disciples, they continued daily with one accord. And where were they? In the temple. They were amongst those who didn't know Jesus. They were amongst those who were enemies of Jesus. They didn't care. They went out and lived for Jesus amongst those who weren't living for Jesus. And they broke breaking bread from house to house, and they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And it says they were praising God, and they had favor with all the people, not just fellow disciples, everybody around them. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I have people say, "Brother Brian, I wish Victory Baptist Church would have more people come and be part of us. I wish, I do too. I'm all for it. But it's not going to start happening the way God intends for us to happen until we start doing it His way. We start loving one another. We start manifesting His name. We start telling people all the time, everywhere, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And then demonstrating it.
You can do that today, and I'm going to invite you to come and do that. We'll celebrate it with you. But those of you who have done that, it's time for us to come together to be the true disciple God intended us to be. Let's put aside everything, and let's say, God, I want to be with you. All in favor, say amen. All those opposed? Okay. Let's all stand together, heads bowed, and eyes closed today. So here's the simple invitation today. If you want to come trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, come on down. I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you want to come down and maybe just talk to God, come on down. I won't disturb you. If you want me to pray with you, all you got to do is make eye contact with me. And I'll see you, and I'll pray with you. If you want to make an altar where you're sitting, do that. But please do as God tells you to do. We've got folks waiting to join the church. We've got folks that need to surrender for baptism. We got folks that just need to get right with God. Won't you do that today? Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. Help me, God, to be what I'm supposed to be. Help me, God, to eliminate prejudice. Help me, God, to stop judging people based upon externals. Help me, Father, to be the man of God you want me to be. Forgive me for my judgmental attitude. Forgive me, Father, for the all morning long. I got it wrong anyway. All right, please forgive me. All right. They both know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've both been scripturally baptized, and they want to serve Jesus Christ alongside of us here at Victory Baptist Church. And if you approve of that, would you say amen this morning? Amen. Amen. This is Ron, okay? This is Jeanette, okay? But I'm so glad they've come and have met my office, and we've talked and gotten involved in manna and all. They've wanted to get their hands involved and serve Jesus here, and we're excited about the future that God has in store for them being here this morning. So praise the Lord. So glad you're here. We'll have you come back in just a second. Have a right hand of fellowship. You can come by and shake your hand. And so sit down right there if you would real quick. And then Taylor would like a real quick testimony. Come right here, Taylor. Taylor has trusted Jesus as her Savior on a Wednesday night. A while back, she gave a quick testimony, and so she wants to give another real quick testimony. She wants the Lord to speak to her heart about something. Yeah.
Well, today was very inspirational for me. Very, very inspirational. And God wanted me to be here today instead of being at work. As you can tell, I'm in my uniform right now. But God wanted me to actually be here today. And after hearing your testimonies and then hearing you preach today, I just wanted to come up and say something to myself. I'm only 20 years old. And my entire life was a big question. It's a really big question. And I didn't know what to do with it. Growing up, I've lived in many different places in many different states. And finally, when I graduated high school, I was lost. I didn't know where to go. I looked up. I was like, God, please help me. Please show me the way. I need your help more than ever. I know I haven't talked to you much, but I'm actually asking you to please help me. My little town of Vicksburg, Mississippi, and I came here. God gave me a second chance at life. And I love my job. I love the people I live with. That's my father right there. He raised me to be a strong, independent woman. And my other father raised me to be a strong, independent woman. I thank God so, so, so much for what he has done for me over the last couple of years of my life, because I have gone through so many challenges, so many obstacles, and I'm hoping to get baptized sometime soon. I can find the time off. But, yeah. God is my Savior, and I accept Him as my Savior, because He has done so much for me.
Come put your arm around her. Come love her. Come pray with her. Come show her. Come be the example that she needs. She needs this in her life. And so we're so glad that God has brought you here, Taylor. Amen. Amen. You sit up here if you want to. All right. In just a second, I have to come back, but I want to have a special time of prayer now for all our students, all our kids getting ready to go back to school, and all our teachers. If you are a teacher, if you are a part of the school administration, whatever role you play in the school, I invite you to come, and all our students. So if you'll come on up here, guys, all the kids and all the teachers, we've got school starting back. Come on down. Come on. You got to stand up. Okay, there you go. Come on down. Come on down. Kids up there in the balcony. Come on. John. Ryan. Come on. Come on. Annabelle, I see you up there. Yeah. All right, come on. I want to have a time of prayer. If you have any involvement in the schools whatsoever, I invite you to come right now. Y'all come up front. Come down here. Come up front. Come up front. You got means you got to come down here. Come on down here. My goodness, hurting a bunch of cats. So it's all right. Come on down. Come on down. Sarah, if you want to bring Ellie in, you're not. You can't. You just set up Sarah's a teacher, but she's got an important package in her arms back there. All right. These are going into school. Many of them have started that already. Some of them haven't started yet. The teachers' lives are important. And this year is going to be an important year in their lives because they don't know what's going to happen, but God does. And so I want to take the time right now. I want us to take the time as a body of Christ and surround them in prayer. And I'd like to invite you to come.